obviously a little disappointed with what the team was able to accomplish the first 70 games. Have three games dictate where we fall in the conference standings is somewhat disappointing. But, you know, the fact remains these are uncharted times for everybody. And we're just hoping we can eventually get back on the ice and play meaningful hockey games.
I think if they want to get back to play a 100-game season, you have to do it as soon as humanly possible if you want a three-week spring training 2.0 before that. If it's an 82-game season, you may be able to, take a couple of days. But ultimately, the sides do need to find some sort of detente, and I just don't know where that is. And without that, we're not going to see baseball this year.
I mean, I felt like the way the story was written, it was taken out of context because it was a casual conversation. And it was like, expletive this, expletive that. But it wasn't a demonstrative statement. I was just saying, you know, we've been off for 2 months. And if we come back, we want to play for something.
I still feel like a play-in tournament is the most logical sort of endpoint. But there is real concern at all levels, including in the league office, that just isn't enough games. And if that's just a disqualifier for a play-in tournament in the end, and I'm not sure that it is, and I'm not saying that it is, I don't really know where you pivot from there.
All right, well, off we go. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. WEEI Late Night, the number to hop on board with us this evening, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937. All right, so today when you heard the news about the Boston Marathon being now officially canceled, it went from being postponed to canceled, how did you feel? Because for me, it was just a demoralizing feeling because with the whole coronavirus pandemic and everything that's going on, I'm not going to say that I've been affected greatly personally. Now, we have all had to change our lives because of the world we're living in, but I have not had a relative pass away or anything along those lines. I know people that have had the coronavirus and they've recovered and they've been fine. My mother works in a hospital. She's there every day. But for the most part, I've been fine during this whole coronavirus pandemic. And I know a lot of you out there have gone through a lot worse situations than I personally have as it pertains to the virus going around. But right now, when we've now been living in this world for a couple of months and you hear today that the Boston Marathon is canceled, it was a kick in the gut. If you think about it, it's 3.5 months away. So that's the thing that I don't get about the whole concept of canceling the Boston Marathon today. It is 3.5 months away. We're talking about September 14th. And you heard how much money, or at least you now know how much money this generates for the economy in the city. About $200 million for the economy of the greater Boston area. That's a whole lot of money. It's the first time the event has been canceled in its 124-year history. So look, if we get to the point when we get closer to the marathon and we have to cancel it, okay, I'll understand. For example, if you had to have it today, you couldn't have it, obviously, right? But the fact that this is something that we could look out to in the future for hope, right? Because that's what we're all looking for now. We want to get back to our normal lives. It's getting old pretty damn quickly. And I understand we're all going through the proper protocols. You're going to the grocery store. You're wearing your mask. You can't go out to bars, etc. It stinks, right? The world we're all living in right now. We understand that we all have to do our part, etc. But to put something out there that is 3.5 months away and say it's canceled right now, that sucked today. That absolutely sucked to get that news. I feel bad for the people that were preparing to run the marathon. Think about it. If you're just the average person getting ready to run the marathon, it's one thing for the professionals, if you will, the people that travel all over the world to run marathons. It's one thing for them. They'll get another marathon. But for the person that was training for the Boston Marathon for the first time and was going to get an opportunity to run, think about what today feels like for them. And a virtual marathon, that's no consolation prize. The reason that you would run the Boston Marathon is to actually run the Boston Marathon, not to just run 26.2 miles and make sure that you record it on your phone so you can get your ticket of authenticity or whatever they're going to give you there, or get your award for running the Boston Marathon. It's not the same thing. A virtual marathon, I understand you're trying to do stuff, but nobody wants to get a virtual medal or a virtual prize for running 26.2 miles. The reason you do it, it's an event to challenge yourself and to be able to actually do it in the most famous marathon in the world. So today, from my perspective, the biggest thing I got out of this, at first, it's anger, because to me, it doesn't make any sense practically to cancel this so far out. But then it just got to a point where sadness. demoralizing. That's how I feel that the Boston Marathon is canceled, because you know what else it does? It paints the picture of what the next couple of months are going to be with the coronavirus pandemic, because we all know we're in this for a long period of time, but we're looking 3.5 months out. We're already canceling events, right? We've been talking about it over the past couple of nights. The NHL looking to get back on the ice in terms of the playoffs. The NBA looking to figure out what they're going to do with the playoffs. Major League Baseball, millionaires arguing with billionaires, but at the end of it, they are trying to figure out some way, even though they're not making much progress. They're trying to figure something out as it pertains to a return to, or I should say, the start of the 2020 season of Major League Baseball. But with the Boston Marathon, nothing to look forward to whatsoever, because that's been canceled. And from my perspective, it just felt like it was a little premature to do it. What happens if 2 months from now things look a lot better? Because that could possibly be the case, that things look... Nobody really knows. Even the scientists, even the doctors, obviously the powers that be politically have no idea, right? So if we get to 2 months away and things look a lot better, well, then you cancel the Boston Marathon. It feels like unfortunate, and it feels like it's premature. And the overwhelming thing that got to me today was just, it sucks. Bottom line, it sucks. I feel bad for all of you that were training for the Boston Marathon. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. The number is 617-779-7937. So if you want to weigh in on that, certainly welcome to do so. But I do want to pivot to this. So Rodney Harrison, former Patriot, by the way, my favorite Patriot not named Tom Brady of all time. Now, I'm one of the people that's fine with Tom Brady going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I thought it was okay. I'm not super upset with Tom Brady now wearing the Buccaneers uniform. There was nothing left here with the Patriots. They weren't Super Bowl contenders anyway, so fine, whatever. But Tom Brady, he has to be your favorite Patriot of all time. He's the main reason you won 6 Super Bowls, right? But outside of Tom Brady, Rodney Harrison was my favorite Patriot. Loved Gronk, loved Edelman, but Rodney Harrison, growing up watching Rodney Harrison, I loved it, man. Hard hitter, heartbeat of the team, all that different type of stuff. Loved Rodney Harrison. But what Rodney Harrison said today about Cam Newton, I cannot disagree with more. So Rodney Harrison said this to Nesson about Cam Newton. I thought it would be a great situation where he could have came in here at a reduced salary. He could have come in and really learned a lot about just technique and just the intricacies of being on a really great football team and with great guidance as far as the head coach and the offensive coordinator. I thought that would have been really, really an ideal situation for him. He could have come in, competed. He could have helped the young guys. The young guys could have helped to push him. I thought it would have been a perfect situation. I'm just a little disappointed that the Patriots weren't a little bit more aggressive just recruiting Cam. Do you agree with Rodney Harrison? 617-779-7937. So this is my whole takeaway from what Rodney Harrison said. I don't understand why he's so disappointed that the Patriots weren't more aggressive going after Cam Newton, because clearly Rodney Harrison wants Cam Newton to be a member of the Patriots, but why should the Patriots have been more aggressive going after him? This is where Rodney Harrison just lost me in his comments. It'd be one thing if he just said, I want Cam Newton to be a member of the Patriots, but why should the Patriots be more aggressive? He's acting as if the Patriots have blown some sort of big opportunity. Last time I checked, I don't know, Cam Newton, he still looks like he's available to me. He hasn't signed on with another organization or anything along those lines. So I don't know what Rodney Harrison's so upset about. It would be one thing if Cam, for example, today signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers to be their backup. Okay, then I could understand why he's upset. But Cam Newton is still a free agent. And if anything, in my mind, the Patriots have handled this thing almost perfectly. So think about this. Where else is Cam Newton going to go? The Bears traded for Nick Foles. The Saints traded for Jameis as their backup. The Redskins traded for Cam's backup in Carolina, Kyle Allen, who played the majority of last season after Cam went down. The Raiders signed Marcus Mariota as their backup. The Colts signed Phillip Rivers. And the Chargers drafted Justin Herbert, who was another team that was rumored to be in the Cam Newton sweepstakes until Anthony Lynn said they weren't going after him. So all those possible landing spots for Cam Newton are off the board. So what are the hypotheticals for Cam Newton? What are the teams he could possibly join? The Patriots, the Jaguars, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. So eventually, when we get to a time where you can bring Cam Newton to Foxborough to get a physical, or you can take the doctors and go see Cam Newton wherever he is. So until that time, you have to wait and see what's going on in terms of the health stuff. But right now, the two teams, say hypothetically, everybody gets to meet with Cam Newton. The teams that you'd be competing with are the Jaguars and the Steelers. So, okay, let's start with the Steelers. They're offering, what, a backup quarterback job? That's what you're offering, to back up Cam Newton. Now, Kevin Colbert, the general manager, and Mike Tomlin, the head coach of the team, could be like in a low voice, just say, hey, well, you know, Ben gets hurt a lot, so maybe you'll get an opportunity to play sooner rather than later. Okay, fine, you could do that, but Ben Roethlisberger, we know to open up the 2020 season, is going to be the starting quarterback for the Steelers. So clearly, the Patriots have more to offer Cam Newton than do the Pittsburgh Steelers. Even if you tell them, hey, you're competing with Jarrett Stidham for the job, well, it's a little bit different than competing with Ben Roethlisberger for the job. A guy that's won two Super Bowls, a guy that's led the league in passing before, a little bit different. And you're not competing with Ben Roethlisberger, you're going there to be the backup. If you come into New England, the only guy sitting your way is a guy that has never really played in an NFL game besides throwing a pick six to Jamal Adams. Okay, so the other team that the Patriots would be competing for, if they wanted Cam Newton at this point, because I told you, all these other destinations are filled up. Indy, Los Angeles with the Chargers, the Bears, they said, no, we're not going to sign the free agent Cam Newton. You know what we're going to do? We're going to trade for Nick Foles. So all these other destinations, Washington, all these places have signed their quarterbacks. The other team that you'd be competing with, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let me say that out loud. The Jacksonville Jaguars. What's a better landing spot for Cam Newton? The New England Patriots or the Jacksonville Jaguars? Well, just to remind you of what's going on in Jacksonville, they traded away Jalen Ramsey, one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL who hated being there. Now, they did get good return on that. They got two first-round picks. But again, your most marketable player gone. He's now with the Los Angeles Rams. They traded away this offseason Calais Campbell. Really damn good player. All they got back was a fifth-round pick because they're clearing salary cap space. Oh, yeah, their star pass rusher right now, Yannick Ngakoue, he's franchised and he wants out of town. He doesn't want to be there anymore. In fact, I don't know if you saw this, but he got in a Twitter battle with the owner's son, Shad Khan's son, Tony Khan, where he said to Tony Khan on Twitter, just trade me. So if it came down to the Patriots and the Jaguars, where do you think Cam Newton's going to go? I don't know. The six-time Super Bowl champs with the greatest coach in the history of the sport, or to the team where their best pass rusher wants out, their star cornerback's no longer there, and they just traded away one of their best players in Calais Campbell, and who knows how long Doug Marrone is going to be the head coach of the Jaguars. Pains me to say that. He coached my alma mater, Syracuse, but I don't believe Doug Marrone's going to be there that much longer. So when you think about it from Cam Newton's perspective, even if you can't offer him a lot of money if you're the Patriots, this is a guy that has made in NFL money, just NFL money. I'm not talking about his endorsements off the field from Under Armour, et cetera. I'm talking about NFL money. In contracts, he's made over $121 million. So if you want to prove people wrong, if you want to get your career back on track and prove the Panthers wrong for getting rid of you for Teddy Bridgewater, a dude with a noodle arm that has really proven nothing in the NFL. Oh, yeah, the Saints went 5-0 with him last year. He threw for less than 200 yards a game. They didn't win because Teddy Bridgewater. They won because of their defense when Teddy Bridgewater wasn't there anymore. But if I'm Cam Newton, I'm going to New England if they actually offer me a contract. And think about another aspect of this if Newton went to Jacksonville. Can you imagine what would happen if he starts the season as their quarterback? And the Jaguars, no matter what happens, they're the worst team in that division. Tennessee is fully loaded with Derrick Henry back, with Ryan Tannehill, who led the league last year in quarterback rating. Mike Vrabel, we all saw last year, really good head coach. The Texans, despite the fact that their coach couldn't run his nose, Bill O'Brien, they do have Deshaun Watson, one of the better young quarterbacks in the NFL. And the Colts are a pretty good team as well with a really good offensive line. So the Jaguars are the worst team in that division, even if Cam Newton goes there. So what's going to happen if Cam Newton goes there is they're going to suck. The team is, that is. And Cam Newton's eventually going to go to the bench and Gardner Minshew is going to take over as the quarterback. Can you imagine how humiliating that would be for Cam Newton? A guy that's the former league MVP. A guy that was one of the best players in the sport for about a three-year period. His window was short in terms of when he reached his peak. MVP of the league in 15. But going to the bench for Gardner Minshew, a six-round draft pick just to sit on the sidelines, and then your value really plummets if you're Cam Newton. See, going to the Patriots, even if you sign a one-year deal, you can get your value to go up significantly because of what you can do with Bill Belichick, with Josh McDaniels, with a great organization. So that's why I just can't agree with what Rodney Harrison was saying today, where he essentially says he thought the Patriots should recruit Cam Newton harder. If anything, in my mind, the Patriots are doing the right thing here because there was no rush to go out and sign Cam Newton. There has really been no real market for Newton because of the fact that we've had this coronavirus pandemic world that we are living in, where NFL players can't travel around and meet with team doctors, etc. People don't trust right now that Cam Newton's a healthy player. And how could you? Shoulder surgery a couple of years ago. And then last year, he has the procedure on his foot. So we're talking about a foot injury and a shoulder injury. What team is going to offer Cam Newton a big-time contract, especially considering the fact that the team that has his medical history, or at least knows his medical history the most, the Carolina Panthers, they said, yeah, we're going to go with the New Orleans Saints backup quarterback Teddy Bridgewater instead of you, instead of a former MVP, instead of a guy that got a $100 million contract. We're going with Teddy Bridgewater, a backup over you. So how can another team around the NFL say, yeah, I'm going to sign Cam Newton to a big deal right now, after his former team just said, yeah, we're good, Cam. We're going to go with Teddy Bridgewater. So when Rodney Harrison said today the Patriots should have been recruiting him harder, why? Right now, it's going to be easy. If the Patriots want Cam Newton, they're competing with the Jacksonville Jaguars. How hard could that be? If Bill Belichick really wants Cam Newton, he's going to be able to get him. All right, a lot more to get into, including Cam Neely had some comments about the new playoff format. Doesn't sound very happy about it, but I do want to continue with the Patriots and Cam Newton. A couple of reasons why I believe that Bill Belichick would be interested in Cam Newton. I'll get into that in just a little bit, and we'll get you trending in just a second here on WEEI.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I really wanted the Patriots. I know a lot of people are out there saying the Patriots, but I thought it would be a great situation where he could have came in at a reduced salary. He could have came in and really learned a lot about just technique and just the intricacies of, you know, just being on a really great football team with great guidance as far as the offensive coordinator. I thought that would have been a really, really ideal situation for him. He could have came in, competed, could have helped the young guy. The young guy could have helped to push him. I thought it would have been a perfect situation. I'm just a little disappointed that the Patriots weren't a little bit more aggressive, you know, just recruiting Cam. And he knows he wasn't going to make $20-something million this year, and it could have definitely been at a reduced rate. He's made so much money in his career.
All right, that's Rodney Harrison with Rich Eisen. Yeah, to be exact, in NFL career earnings, $121 million Cam Newton has made. 617-779-7937. Do you agree with Rodney Harrison that the Patriots should have been more aggressive recruiting Cam Newton? My whole thing is I don't understand why Rodney Harrison is so worried about this. If the Patriots still want Cam Newton, they still have the ability to do so. There's not a whole lot of teams that are looking for a quarterback right now. All these quarterback destinations, if you will, it's off the board. Not going to the Chargers. Anthony Lynn already said that. They drafted Justin Herbert. Not going to the Bears. They, of course, traded for Nick Foles to compete with Mitchell Trubisky. The Colts, they weren't interested in Cam. They went out for Phillip Rivers. Tampa Bay, we know Tom Brady's there. So there's not a lot of destinations for Cam Newton. And here's the thing. He's still a free agent. It's not as if he signed with another team. So I don't know why Rodney Harrison's saying he's upset the Patriots didn't recruit him more. If the Patriots want him, they can still have him. They can still get Cam Newton and sign him to a one-year deal if they're still interested in Cam Newton. So I don't believe it's time to panic whatsoever if you were interested in Cam Newton. If Rodney Harrison believes that the Patriots should have gone after him, still plenty of time to do that. And I'm pretty sure the Patriots want to make sure they can get a look at Cam Newton and have their own medical people get a look at Cam Newton, considering the guy's coming off a shoulder injury and a foot issue. The last two seasons, he's been injured. So I'm pretty damn sure that the Patriots want to see what's under the hood with Cam Newton. And really think about this. Has any player in particular been hurt more with the coronavirus than Cam Newton? Out of all the teams that needed quarterbacks, all these quarterbacks changed teams. Teddy Bridgewater got $60 million to take Cam Newton's job. Jameis Winston ends up backing up Drew Brees in New Orleans. Phillip Rivers gets $20 million to go play for the Indianapolis Colts after he just had a horrendous season last year. Case Keenum gets a backup job with the Cleveland Browns. All these other quarterbacks are getting jobs, and Cam Newton is just left there because he can't travel to these different destinations and meet with teams. This is an MVP of the NFL, and he's been screwed over more so from the coronavirus, and I understand people around the world are dealing with much bigger issues with the coronavirus, but I'm just talking about from a pure NFL standpoint, and in terms of an NFL free agent, nobody's been hurt more in this situation than Cam Newton. But I did want to get to this real quickly, and if you want to hop on board, the number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you until midnight. I was thinking about some of the reasons that Belichick may want Cam Newton here in New England. And I go back to this. If you have read Ann O'Connor's book, Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time, you'll remember this quote. And even if you haven't read the book, you've seen this quote a million times by now, because as when the book was coming out, the quote got a ton of attention. This is from the book. Quote, one New England assistant said the general feeling among staff members around the team wasn't that Belichick's system couldn't make Super Bowl quarterbacks out of all 32 NFL starters, but if you gave us any of the top 15, we could do it. I don't think the coaches view Tom as special as everyone else around football does. Again, this is probably something that, as we talked about the divorce for, what, 3 months here with Brady and Belichick, it's probably something that didn't go over well with Tom. Because we all always know that, or we have always known that that quote came from Bill, right? The unnamed assistant coach doesn't just make this up if it's not something that Bill Belichick believes. So in my mind, what better way to prove that to be true than going after a guy like Cam Newton? If Newton is actually healthy, he is without question a top 15 guy in the league. That's not debatable. He's a former MVP. Yeah, he isn't the most accurate quarterback in the world. I understand that. But he's one of the best running quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. Short yardage, he is by far the best running quarterback in the history of the NFL. So I believe that quote that came from Bill, if you believe that Cam Newton's healthy, right? So I know that Bill didn't directly say that, but obviously he believes he can win with a lot of different quarterbacks. And in fact, if you think back to when the schedule was released and Bill Belichick went on Rich Eisen's NFL Network show and they were releasing the schedule and he asked him about starting a season without Brady, he says, well, we played with him before, played without him before. He went 11-5 with Matt Cassel, and then he referenced the season where they started the year with Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo. So Belichick, out of sight, out of mind, he's ready to move on. So if he wants to prove right away that he can win without Brady and you have a former MVP sitting out there, and you finally get your medical people to get a look at Cam Newton and he's healthy, well, then there's your opportunity right there. You already have a really good defense, despite the fact that you lost Van Noy and despite the fact that you lost Jamie Collins and you traded away Daron Harmon. You still got a really good defense with the reigning defensive player of the year in Stephon Gilmore. So you still feel really good about your defense. You bring in a guy like Cam Newton, you could feel like, okay, here we go again. We're contenders because this guy that's a former league MVP is healthy. Now, this is all predicated on him being healthy. But if Belichick really wants to prove right away that he can win without Brady, and think about what that would prove for Belichick too, because they've had a very similar system for a number of years here in New England. Now, of course, they morphed into a more run-heavy team in the 2018 season. But for a large majority of time, it's been the Tom Brady offense. If you bring in Cam Newton, that's a totally different dynamic. So Belichick goes from basically a quarterback, and this isn't an indictment on Tom, but a statue quarterback. His mobility in the pocket is great. The greatest of all time in terms of how he manipulates the pocket, but he doesn't get outside the pocket and run. So if you're going to highlight the skill set of Cam Newton, the scheme has got to be dramatically different from what it was with Tom Brady. So think about how much credit Belichick would get. Oh, yeah, they got Cam Newton in here after Tom Brady. And look at that offense now with Cam Newton. It's a great opportunity for Belichick. Another reason I believe Bill would like to sign Cam, don't you think it would interest him at his core? In terms of, he's a football nerd, right? He loves the history of the game. Remember last year when he was doing the NFL Network special, when they were doing the top 100 players in the history of the NFL? He was talking about the wishbone offense and getting excited about that. He loves the history of the game. So Bill getting this challenge to build a totally different offense compared to anything he's ever had here in New England, don't you think just from an interest level, an intrigue level, that would catch Belichick's eye? Oh, cool, we get to design this offense totally different. Hey, we can do this with the quarterback. We can do that with the quarterback. I just believe this would be like football porn to Bill Belichick, redesigning an offense around a skill set of a guy that is totally different from what Tom Brady was. And then the third reason that I believe Bill would be interested in Cam Newton, and maybe this is the biggest reason of all, he enjoys making other people look dumb. Wouldn't you say that's the case, that Belichick enjoys making people look dumb? You remember the game against the Jets this year where he kept taking delay of game penalties just to make the Jets look stupid? Remember when he was doing that earlier this year, then Vrabel did that back to him? But that's one thing that Belichick enjoys, is making other people look dumb. He does it with players all the time, right? Don't you think there's a part of Belichick that gets off on getting these guys that other teams don't value as key contributors to their team, and Belichick gets them to play major roles? Think about it through the years. Danny Woodhead. The team that Belichick hates more so than any other team in the NFL is who? The New York Jets. So Rex Ryan and the Jets, when they were on Hard Knocks, Danny Woodhead was a story in that show. Remember that? He was one of the guys in camp that was showing a lot of signs. And at the end of it, they actually cut Danny Woodhead. What does Belichick do? He signs Danny Woodhead. And Danny Woodhead, for like 3 years, was a key contributor to this Patriots team. He was a really good receiver out of the backfield. Really good receiver out of the backfield for the Patriots for a number of years. So he enjoyed getting Danny Woodhead and basically taking Danny Woodhead and slapping the Jets in the face with him and letting Danny Woodhead emerge into a really good player with the Patriots. Wes Welker, another guy that played in the same division as the Patriots, underutilized by the Dolphins, basically just using him as a punt returner who's barely catching passes. Bill Belichick takes what Miami deems as really not an important player to them. And what does he do with Wes Welker? Well, he just emerges as one of the greatest slot receivers in the history of the NFL and is a key contributor on a bunch of teams that were very successful, including a team that went undefeated during the regular season. Aqib Talib, massive issue in Tampa off the field, right? Well, he comes here, no trouble, and it becomes an absolute stud. I remember when Jimmy Graham was in his prime with the New Orleans Saints, and the Patriots played the New Orleans Saints that year, and they put Aqib Talib on Jimmy Graham, and he shut him down. So another example of a guy where Belichick says, oh, you don't think this guy is good? You think he's an issue off the field? Let me bring him here. Kyle Van Noy, another guy. Detroit couldn't even get him on the field. Belichick brings him here. He's a key contributor on a couple of Super Bowl teams. Chris Hogan, another guy in the division. Buffalo, they couldn't find a way to use him. He comes here to the Patriots, and he's pretty good for a number of years. Not to say that he was a star or anything along those lines. But again, Belichick made the Bills look dumb with Hogan. He made the Dolphins look dumb with Wes Welker. He made the Jets look dumb by cutting Danny Woodhead. He made the Bucks look dumb for getting rid of a really good cornerback in Aqib Talib. He made the Lions look dumb by getting rid of Kyle Van Noy. He makes himself look smarter than everybody else in the NFL, and I quite frankly believe he gets off on that crap. So this would be another opportunity to make other teams around the league look dumb. Wait, the Colts go out and they paid Philip Rivers $25 million. He's old and done and threw a ton of interceptions last year, and Belichick got Cam Newton for nothing. The Panthers gave Teddy Bridgewater $20 million per season. And, oh yeah, they got rid of Cam Newton, and Belichick got him for nothing. Think about how this could go. The Bears, they gave up a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles and took on his contract, and the Patriots got Cam Newton without having to give up anything. I just believe this appeals to Bill in so many ways, making other teams look dumb, proving that he can win with another guy that's a top 15 quarterback in the NFL that's not Tom Brady, and building a totally different offense that he's never really had the luxury of using before. If you really think about it, the only time that the Patriots had a quarterback that was mobile, it was Jacoby Brissett for one game. And Jacoby Brissett, remember, he got that opportunity to start on a short week because Jimmy Garoppolo in the Miami game at the beginning of the 2016 season, he went down with that shoulder injury. And then you have a short week here preparing for the Texans, and Jacoby Brissett ran the ball like 8 times. And Jacoby Brissett isn't near the athlete that Cam Newton is. So if the Patriots have the opportunity to get a guy like Cam Newton, you can completely change the way that you're running your offense. Now, quite frankly, I've convinced myself that Jarrett Stidham is going to be the guy for the Patriots. And clearly by what Belichick has done this offseason, or I should say what he hasn't done this offseason, it tells you that they have faith in the player, considering they didn't go after any of the guys in the draft. And secondarily, I listed off a bunch of the quarterbacks that were available on the market and even via trade, like a guy like Andy Dalton. Now, eventually Dalton was cut and he caught on with the Cowboys, but you could have traded for him if you really wanted him. And you had a bunch of other quarterbacks that were out there, the Case Keenums of the world, the backup type quarterbacks. And you also had starters like Phillip Rivers, etc. So by Belichick not going after any of those guys, it's telling you that he believes in the player. But in my mind, if you get a look at Cam Newton, and you deem him and your medical personnel deem him healthy, I would have no issue whatsoever with the Patriots going after a guy like Cam Newton. I'm all in seeing what Jarrett Stidham can do and seeing if Jarrett Stidham is eventually a franchise-level quarterback. But I think anybody that's actually a Patriots fan and you see Bill Belichick, the greatest coach in the history of the sport, you see him actually go out and sign Cam Newton, I don't know how any Patriots fan couldn't be optimistic about that and be 100% on board with what Bill Belichick's doing. Because what Belichick would be doing if he signs Cam Newton, he's telling you this. Now I have a massive upgrade at the quarterback position. Because what he was doing before is he's telling you there's not a guy in the draft that I think is a massive upgrade over Jarrett Stidham. Right, because you weren't going to be able to trade up and get Tua, and you weren't going to be able to trade up and get Herbert, and I'm not the biggest fan of Herbert anyway, but nonetheless, you weren't going to be able to go up to number one and get Joe Burrow. So those guys that were considered the upper echelon quarterbacks, you couldn't get them. Belichick clearly didn't love Jordan Love, and then the guys that were in the middle of the draft, the Jake Fromms, the Jacob Eason's, etc., he wasn't so high on those guys. Okay, and then in terms of the free agent market, the free agents I went through, and the guys that you hypothetically could have traded for, Belichick clearly wasn't super high on any of those guys where he said, you know what, Case Keenum's a big upgrade over Jarrett Stidham, or Andy Dalton's a big upgrade over Jarrett Stidham, or any of these guys who are out in the open market. Belichick deemed that none of those guys were big upgrades over Jarrett Stidham. And in fact, in most cases, he probably felt like Stidham could be the better player in the 2020 season. But as a Patriots fan, if I see Belichick actually go out there and sign Cam Newton, what it's telling me is Belichick actually is deeming somebody a significant upgrade over Jarrett Stidham. And secondarily, if he thinks that, then you should believe this team is a contender again if they actually get a guy like Cam Newton. And Cam Newton in this Patriots system and this Patriots offense obviously be totally different. But with the current personnel that the Patriots have, don't you think that Cam Newton could have a better season in 2020 here in New England than Tom Brady had in 2019, where Brady's numbers completely fell off? But think about this. It's not as if the Patriots have the best receiving core in the world. The offensive line is going to get healthier with Isaiah Wynn, hopefully can finally stay healthy for an entire season. You have a guy like David Andrews coming back from injury. So don't you think it would be more advantageous for this Patriots team to have a quarterback like Cam Newton that you can design a lot of runs for, and you can use his legs in the offense to help in terms of being successful and moving the ball consistently, unlike last year? You could easily see the Patriots offense with a healthy Cam Newton being better than it was a season ago with an older Tom Brady when he didn't have a whole lot of weapons around him. And I don't even believe that's an indictment on Tom Brady. I'm just telling you, in terms of the offense that Tom Brady wants to run, he didn't have a lot around him last year in his mind, and the offensive line was banged up for the majority of the season. Bringing in a guy like Cam Newton, if healthy, you could easily see this offense taking a massive jump in the 2020 season, and it could also help a guy like Sony Michel running in the same offense with a quarterback that can also present a threat with his legs. So the Patriots go after Cam Newton. I have no issue with whatsoever. That's what I've said the whole time. Unless you think that there's a quarterback out there that is a huge upgrade over Jarrett Stidham, there's no point in bringing him in. Just let Stidham go unless you think that massive upgrade is up there. And I don't think any sane person could argue that a healthy Cam Newton isn't a massive upgrade over Jarrett Stidham. This guy was the MVP of the NFL. All right, a lot more to get into. I want to get into Cam Neely's comments in a little bit. He is not the biggest fan of the playoff format that the NHL has laid out there. We'll get into that in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI.
WEEI, 93.7 FM.
Disappointed with what the team was able to accomplish the first 70 games, and then the kind of the point spread that we had between not only the teams in the league but the teams in our division or conference. So, you know, to kind of maybe have three games dictate where we fall in the conference standings is somewhat disappointing. But, you know, the fact remains these are uncharted times for everybody, and we're just hoping we can eventually get back on the ice and play meaningful hockey games.
All right, that's Cam Neely talking about the new playoff format, and you heard him there. He said it's a little frustrating based on what the team accomplished through 70 games that they could be in a scenario where they go to the fourth seed instead of being the first overall seed in the Eastern Conference. They have the most points, of course, in the NHL. The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. Do you agree with Cam Neely that it's frustrating where the Bruins are at right now? See, I believe what Neely's saying is the exact same thing that I said on Tuesday night. It sucks. It's unfortunate. The day that the new playoff was released on Tuesday, I thought it was unfortunate for the Bruins. I still don't think it makes a lot of sense that basically you're taking away what the Bruins did during the regular season, and you're basically giving them the same chance to get the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference as the Capitals, the Lightning, and the Flyers. They're 8 points in front of the Lightning. They're 10 points in front of the Capitals. And they're 11 points in front of the Flyers. So it sucks. This is the one thing that I will say, though. I hope that this is a one-day thing, and I know Bruce Cassidy had comments as well about it. I hope this is a one-day thing for Cam Neely and Cassidy, etc. I hope that this is not something that carries on. I'm fine with them taking a day after this comes out to complain about it because, quite frankly, we all feel the same way. As Bruins fans, we all feel like the Bruins got screwed over by this. So I have no issue whatsoever with Cam Neely coming out and saying this. But this is where I will have an issue. If this continues to be something that they talk about leading up to the round-robin tournament, and then if they lose to the Capitals or they lose to the Lightning, say hypothetically they come out of that round-robin tournament and they're the number three seed, and then we hear them bring it up again, how it's an unfair formula, that's when I'll start to have an issue with it. So I'm fine with them complaining for a day or two about how they got screwed over because, quite frankly, I feel the same way. But now it's time to move on. This is the reality of the situation that they now live in as it pertains to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and now you have to adjust accordingly. And the other thing I would say is this. It feels like, in my mind, this could actually be used as a rallying cry for the Bruins. We've seen this with the Patriots on multiple occasions. Now, the Patriots do it more so with the press, right? So if you remember way back to when Julian Edelman was taking shots at Trent Dilfer. Remember Trent Dilfer, that famous soundbite after the loss to the Kansas City Chiefs, the famous loss to the Chiefs where after the game, Belichick says, we're on to Cincinnati. Well, Julian Edelman posts on Twitter after they win the Super Bowl where Trent Dilfer saying they're just not good anymore, right? We've seen it with Brady through the years. After the Patriots beat the Chargers in that playoff game, remember Brady comes out and he says, everybody thinks we suck. And it's like, well, hold on. Who's saying the Patriots suck? Some people picked the Chargers to win the game, but who was saying the Patriots suck at that particular point in time? Kyle Van Noy kept going at Max Kellerman on social media and actually went on First Take after a Super Bowl win. So we've seen it with the Patriots on multiple occasions where they've basically used stuff that the media has said as motivation, as a rallying cry. Well, I'm wondering with the Bruins, because they already had some motivation, right? If you think about it, the fact that they went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final against the St. Louis Blues, and they came out the way they did this year and responded the way they did this year to the point where, during the regular season, by far and away, they were the best team in the NHL from a points perspective, right? They were 8 points better than the Lightning, and if you look out in the Western Conference, they were 6 points better than the Blues. They were the best team in the NHL all season long. Quite frankly, I didn't see that kind of response from the Bruins coming just because ordinarily, you don't see that. A team that went to Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final, think about how grueling that is. For them to respond, it's been remarkable. So obviously, I liken it to the Spurs in the NBA all those years ago where they lost to the Heat. Remember when Ray Allen hit that miraculous shot and then the Spurs end up losing the series when they already had basically everything kind of marked off in the arena there where they were getting ready to get the champagne going. That's what I compared this Bruins team to. They're very similar to the Spurs, where they had a single mission all season long. They wanted to get back to the Stanley Cup final, like the Spurs wanted to get back to the NBA finals, and basically win the Stanley Cup that they thought they should have won a season ago. So it's been very impressive. But the other thing they could use is if you're in that Bruins dressing room, you say, hey, listen, they're trying to make this even more difficult for us. We already won the President's Cup trophy. And we're getting disrespected to the point where we got to play a round-robin tournament to prove ourselves again to get the number one seed. And you could even convince yourself in your head, if you're a member of the Bruins team, you know what? They want Ovechkin to get the number one seed. They want Ovechkin to have the easiest path to the Stanley Cup final because Ovechkin is one of the most marketable guys in the sport. They don't want us. They want Ovechkin back in this thing. Or, hey, look, and I understand the Bruins are a bigger draw than Tampa in terms of a market, but they want some of these Tampa stars in there. Oh, they want this Philadelphia Flyers story. They want something different than us because we were there a year ago. You can use all this stuff if you're the Bruins as motivation, right? So I hope this becomes a rallying cry for the Bruins that they're pissed off that essentially they got screwed over by how the new playoff format was basically orchestrated. And nobody got screwed over more than the Bruins because if you look out west with the St. Louis Blues, they're only 2 points ahead of the Avalanche. There was a really easy argument for the Avalanche taking over and getting the number one seed in the Western Conference. So that was up for grabs. This was over. You could play this out and the Bruins could lose all three games and on points they'd still be ahead of all three of these teams. So it was over. The Bruins weren't going to come undone towards the end of the season and relinquish that number one overall seed. In fact, you know what? The Bruins even lost out from this perspective as well. they could have figured out during the stretch run of the season, you know what we'll do tonight? We'll give Char a night off. You know what? We'll give Bergeron a night off. Kind of like the NBA does with players where they sit guys out. They could have decided to do those things at the end of the season because of the fact they had built up that cushion. They had built up that lead to make sure everybody was 100% ready to go. So that hurts the Bruins as well in terms of from a disadvantage in that capacity. And a team like the Lightning, who had an injury to Steven Stamkos, well, now, if you reboot the season, this guy's going to be ready to go, and that's totally different from where we were a couple of months ago when the season got suspended. So they actually greatly benefit. So the Bruins can use all this stuff as a rallying cry. The one thing I would say, too, is if you're the Bruins in this round-robin tournament, you think about the other teams you play. Washington. The Bruins this year against Washington, 1-1-1. They had an overtime loss, of course, and they did have a 7-3 win in there. Their latest game against the Capitals, they beat them 7-3. Remember that game? That was crazy. Okay, and then you had against Tampa this year, 1-2-1, and of course, the Bruins can't win these overtime games, and they can't win shootouts. We all know that. And then against the Flyers this year, 1-0-2. Okay, so if you look at this round-robin tournament, you've had difficulty with all these teams. You've had success against all these teams as well. But shouldn't this be the opportunity, right? You've proven, okay, we can get over that Game 7 loss. Our core is not too old anymore because, quite frankly, they proved me wrong. I thought the core was going to be too old. I thought last year was their best chance to win a Stanley Cup. I thought the window was shutting, and clearly they proved me wrong. But if you're the Bruins, you've been the best team in the NHL all season long, you should be pissed off and want to prove to everybody, hey, I don't care about this round-robin tournament. We're going to prove that we deserve to be the number one overall seed, and we can go into this situation where we play the Capitals, we play the Flyers, we play the Lightning, the three of the four other best teams in the Eastern Conference, and we can prove to them that, you know what, we're better than all of you. And it's an opportunity to send a message before the actual postseason starts, because I guess technically it'll be the postseason, but that's stupid play-in games or play-in five-game series, you can send a message to the rest of the NHL by dominating this round-robin tournament. Even if you go, say, 2-1-0 and you end up getting the number one overall seed, because remember, if there is a tie-breaking situation, you do go to the regular season point system. So even if you end up with, the same record as the Capitals or the same record as the Lightning or the Flyers, whoever ends up tying with you, you can still send a message to the rest of the league that you're still the best team in the NHL. But what a weird scenario in terms of the NHL, because the NHL, to me, it's such a game of rhythm. It's such a sport of rhythm. And some of these teams are going to look totally different when they come back from this long layoff. Now, I'm not getting to the point where I'm saying, hey, one of these teams that barely got into the postseason has the same chance of winning this thing as the Bruins or the Capitals or the St. Louis Blues out west, right? Because at the end of it, you're still going to have the same amount of talent level. But it is kind of jarring to see how teams could look different in terms of guys getting back from injuries, guys getting healthier, et cetera, right? And then the other thing I would say about what I would want to avoid if I'm the Bruins when this thing, and hopefully it does pick up, because Gary Bettman, again, did acknowledge the fact that this is happening as long as it's safe to play with everything going on with the coronavirus pandemic. The one thing in my mind that I would look at more so than anything else, I would just want to avoid the number four seed if I was the Bruins. Just don't suck. And as much as we say, yeah, the Bruins got screwed over, well, yeah, maybe by the rules, but you still have an opportunity to get the number one overall seed. You still have the opportunity to get everything that you had when the season got delayed. Okay, the road's a little bit more difficult. Unfortunately, that sucks, but you still have the opportunity to do it. But I would try to avoid getting that number four seed. So all you have to do is just don't be the worst team in this round-robin tournament, because we know how difficult the Stanley Cup playoffs are, and we know how unpredictable the Stanley Cup playoffs are. So just try to avoid that four seed, because quite frankly, I don't want to see the Penguins. If the Penguins end up getting by, and look, they end up playing the Canadians, right? If I'm not mistaken, they get the Canadians in the first round, right, Brian? Don't they? Because, yeah, they get the Canadians.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Canadians are the 12th, right? So if you're Pittsburgh, hope Carey Price doesn't get hot and you end up losing a couple of games to the Penguins, or you end up losing a couple of games to them and your season's over. But I would not want to see the Penguins in the first round just because of the fact that you have so many star players on that team when you're talking about Crosby and when you're talking about Malkin. I just don't want to mess around with a team like that in the opening round of the playoffs. So the bottom line for the Bruins is, yeah, okay, it's unfortunate. It sucks that you got put in a position where, in terms of what you achieved during the regular season. It's getting undermined by this new playoff format that the NHL has put out there. But use it as a rallying cry. We can all complain for the first week or so, but once this thing gets back underway, I don't want to hear them complaining about it anymore, because at that point, we're going to have known about the particulars and what the playoff format's going to be for a month. So I'm cool with it for a week. Cam Neely wants to complain about it. If some of the Bruins players want to complain about it, if you as a fan want to complain about it like I did on Tuesday night, fine. But once we actually get to the point where the round robin kicks off, the round robin tournament kicks off, take care of your business. I don't want to hear about the excuses anymore. I don't want to hear about how the Bruins got screwed anymore, because guess what? If you finish fourth in the round robin tournament, you probably aren't good enough to win the Stanley Cup final either, because at some point you're going to have to play the Capitals or the Lightning or the Philadelphia Flyers. So at some point, if you can't beat those teams, you weren't good enough to win the Stanley Cup to begin with. So from that perspective, I'm fine with some complaining right now, but eventually you got to move on and you got to adjust to what's going on with this new format. All right, a lot more to get into.
Real quick before we go to break, you know, one thing that, It's obviously unprecedented, and everybody has to deal with coming back after what'll be, you know, close to 3.5-4 months, and their rhythm will be messed up and everything. And yes, the round robin format is a disadvantage for a team that ran away with the President's Trophy or was on their way to doing so. But one thing that the Bruins and the Blues have in common is that there has never been a situation where the two teams that went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals got this type of break. Now, Blues are playing to go back-to-back years to the Stanley Cup Finals. And while there's a lot of detrimental factors to having all this time off, the Bruins and Blues have an advantage over everybody else in the sense that they can use this time off, this forced time off, to get healthy and get replenished for another deep run, which never before has that happened for two Cup Final teams, especially a series that went 7 games.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to look at it, because Bergeron, an older player, gets some time off. Chara, of course, a very old player, gets some time off. Even a guy like Krejci, who's getting up there in years, those guys get some time to get right, get healthy, and rejuvenate before we get this new format underway. All right, if you want to hop on board, the number 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on the new playoff format, how it affects the Bruins, you can do that. If you want to weigh in on the Cam Newton situation, do you agree with Rodney Harrison that the Patriots should be recruiting him harder? You can certainly weigh in on that. Plus, I do want to get to some comments that Dan Orlovsky from ESPN made about the AFC East. He thinks the Bills are the overwhelming favorite. I disagree very strongly with that. We'll get into it in a little bit right here on WEI.